Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
News from Ukraine. Germany's top diplomat arrived in the capital in Kyiv, an unannounced visit. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joseph, as you know, Germany is Ukraine's second biggest weapon supplier after the United States. So this is an important visit, isn't it?
It is indeed, Bob, and hello from Kyiv. I think the German foreign minister, Annalena Baerbock, she speaks very strongly in favor of Ukraine, why Ukraine must win. But I think, and this is a big topic here among Americans and Ukrainians here in Kyiv, Germany often has very similar rhetoric to what we hear from Washington. Very beautiful words about wanting to stand for freedom, but still restricting Ukraine in the ways they can fight back and still not sending the most powerful and precise weapons that they have on hand. So, for example, Germany has the Taurus missiles, which the German chancellor has refused to send to Ukraine. The Taurus missiles are almost the equivalent of some of America's best weapons, like the HIMARS, but especially the ATACMS, that have a long range and that are very precise, which is good, which means they're not going to hit civilians if Ukrainians were able to use them to hit Russian military targets, because of these are precision weapons. And Germany still refuses to send that type of support. And one of the ways I heard the criticism phrased of both Germany and the U.S. is that they're very good at repackaging what has already been approved long ago. We see this from Washington, for example, recent announcements of in the past week of additional $425 million in aid for Ukraine. And then just a few months ago, additional $9 billion. And obviously that was, something on people's minds probably today as they vote. But, all of those figures that we hear now from the U.S. are figures that Congress voted for in the spring. Those resources have not yet been allocated to Ukraine. And politicians, I think in any country are adept at, sort of squeezing everything they can out of that opportunity to make it sound like they're doing something. So I think that in many ways there was a good deal of disappointment is still with Germany. I mean, Germany had, one of the reasons why they have supplied so many weapons is because, Germany has an excellent defense industry, but proportionally, their help has been much less than many other countries, especially the United Kingdom, which, for example, has provided Ukraine long-range missiles and is trying to get Washington, the UK is trying to get Washington to let Ukraine use use those missiles to hit Russian bases on Russian soil. And we see, it's continuing to happen. Once again, we had the dance macabre of drones throughout Ukraine last night. They didn't come to Kyiv City, but they were on the outskirts. And the Russians are also sending the caliber bombs, the CAB bombs, to Kharkiv City. They hit Kharkiv a couple times again last night. And as the weather gets chillier, it's snowing in Kharkiv right now. Everyone is bracing for what they expect is going to be a terrible winter. Russia's hoping that they can, from the Russian perspective, make the final blows upon Ukraine's infrastructure system. And as I look at the leaves on the sidewalks here in Kyiv, and you feel the chill in the air, I think back to what happened in the 1930s here in Ukraine when with the Great Famine. Called Holodomor, which means hunger by death or death by hunger. And that was executed by Stalin against the Ukrainians. And it was very similar in many ways to the Irish potato famine in that there was not necessarily actually a shortage of food. It was how the food was managed. And Ukrainians were forced to take their grain and send it to other parts of the Soviet Union, which was suffering because the model of communism was not working in the 1930s. But Stalin wanted to make it look like it was. And so he relied on Ukrainian grain, sending, to the far-flung reaches of the USSR, and that caused a huge famine here. And I think, everyone is sort of preparing themselves for the winter ahead, which is pretty much here, that it's going to be a similar tactic, trying to break the people by, in this case, not by hunger, but by freezing them and by making it almost impossible to live in cities due to the infrastructure attacks.
Joe, I imagine you and most of Ukraine will be following our election results closely. Let's see, it's already afternoon there. So are you going to be up all night? Will many Ukrainians be doing that?
Well, I mean, in a sense, I will be up all night because I'm sure this is going to be drone attacks and air raid alarms. So probably I'll be awake anyway. So, yeah, I'll be checking those results. And, you know, I think for everyone here, you have two different senses here. The Americans who are here are more uptight about this. And it's really even hard for people to talk with each other, because they have such different ideas. And the debates, as we see in the U.S., can get a bit nasty. But in Ukrainians, there's such a great sense of free speech here. You can talk and debate really anything. And so Ukrainians, and I think they've been through so much that they realize this matters for them, for America, for the world, that it's America's choice. And there's a sense that, as I said yesterday, no matter who wins, Ukraine has a lot of work to do because either way, it doesn't look good. Either way, the current way things are going is not ideal. It's a slow bleed. And so just kind of waiting to see. And then figuring out how to respond as whoever wins, spends the next few months forming their administration. Mm-hmm. Ukrainians, want to make sure that they are heard during that time.
There's always a lot of interest around the world in our presidential elections. But now with what's happening in Ukraine and also the Middle East, everybody is really around the world following this very closely, aren't they?
Yeah, and it matters, but it also matters, it's not just about foreign policy, right? I mean, people have their concerns in America, and that's why, it's a huge weight of responsibility. And speaking of elections, we had just a few days ago the runoff elections in Moldova, that little country that borders Ukraine. Russia has been trying to influence it. They were flying voters in. They were and sending money in suitcases. But the pro-freedom, pro-European Union President Maya Sandu, she won re-election by about 55%. So that is a big victory for those who oppose Kremlin tyranny. But across the Black Sea in that nation of Georgia, Saakashvili, really one of the most beautiful nations in the world, from the Black Sea to the Caucasus Mountains, the pro-Russian party won that election. There's many accusations of fraud, and people are in the streets. Tens and tens of thousands of protesters are in the streets every day now protesting it. But as they stand there in the streets in that tiny country, just about 4 million people, they look to Ukraine because that's what Ukrainians did in 2014. And because Ukrainians did that, now they're getting bombed. And so this is, you can see what Russia's tactic was. They want to scare other countries. And so people in Tbilisi know that if they keep protesting, one day they could face ballistic missiles in Tbilisi as well.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. We'll have a lot to talk about, especially tomorrow. Well, maybe tomorrow. We'll see, right? Who knows?
I hope everyone stays calm.
Yeah. Keep calm and carry on. Thank you.